Bloomberg Markets is brought to you by Commonwealth Financial Network, home to the industry's most satisfied advisors. Prepare to be swept off your feet by the broker-dealer RIA, who has been putting relationships first since 1979. Visit Commonwealth.com. Well, over the weekend, officials of OPEC and non-OPEC oil producers are scheduled to meet in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, to review compliance among the 24 oil producers. They had agreed back in December of 2016 to join Riyadh and Moscow in cutting oil production in order to boost prices. Here to help us understand this topic more is Dr. Ellen Wald, energy markets and policy analyst and non-resident scholar with the Arabia Foundation, and she is author of the newly published book, Saudi Inc. Dr. Ellen Wald, thanks very much for being with us. Maybe you could just tell us what you believe is at stake in these meetings over the weekend.
Well, the meetings actually just concluded in Jeddah time. It's actually the weekend now. And something very interesting happened, which was that the participants of the meeting essentially agreed that the oil glut is resolving, things are looking good, but they'd like to see other issues resolved, such as a lack of overall investment in upstream oil assets. And then in the early hours of the morning today, President Trump decided to tweet about OPEC. He said, "Looks like OPEC is at it again, with record amounts of oil all over the place, including the fully loaded ships at sea. Oil prices are artificially very high. No good and will not be accepted." And that sent oil prices tumbling immediately after he said this.
Dr. Wald, I'm trying to get a sense of what Saudi Arabia, I was going to say Saudi Aramco, I'm using them almost interchangeably right now. What really is the price point that they're going for here for oil?
Well, there have been some rumors that they are looking for a price point between $80 and $100, but none of that is confirmed at all, because every time any OPEC minister, really, including the Saudi one, is asked, they say, "We're not targeting any particular price. We're looking to see global oil stocks reduced. We're looking to see the market in balance," so on and so forth.
Well, but the reason why I ask that is because they did decide to continue cutting production despite the fact that the excess supplies have been depleted substantially. So does this suggest that rumors are kind of real, that there is a level at which they're targeting?
There definitely is some, I think, veracity to the rumors, despite the fact that they will never confirm them. What I do think they're also looking to see is this continued cooperation. And if they jump out of the deal too soon, they're afraid they're going to lose that framework for a time when they really do need it to boost oil prices. So they're definitely looking to continue with these cuts. The Saudis, I think, would like to see a gradual increase in oil prices, possibly to the $80 a barrel level. I do think that 100, they really would see that as too high.
What can you tell us about the ongoing confrontation between Qatar and Saudi Arabia and their role in what is going on in Yemen and how this figures into the politics of the region?
The Yemen issue is a very complicated one, but it really runs deep for many Saudis. They feel directly threatened by a lot of the missiles that the rebels in Yemen are shooting at them. There was just another one this morning that was shot at a Saudi town in southern Saudi Arabia on the Red Sea. There have been recent missiles in Riyadh, and this issue really makes it seem that Saudi Arabia is not going to let up on Qatar and they're not going to let up on Iran until this issue with Yemen is resolved.
Well, I mean, in that context, though, trying to resolve the issue with Iran comes at the same time when they seem to have an issue with Russia, which has actually boosted output of 70,000 barrels a day since September. Doesn't that put them at odds with what the Saudis would like?
And this is what makes oil so interesting, is that these oil deals seem to operate outside of the rest of the geopolitical sphere. So Saudi Arabia, the oil minister of Saudi Arabia, can sit next to the Russian oil minister, and they can agree on curbing oil production, while meanwhile the foreign minister of Saudi Arabia can take shots at the Russians for supporting Saudi enemies in Syria and in Iran and so on and so forth. And that doesn't seem to have any effect on this oil game, because they both want to make money off of their oil.
But I wonder how much this does affect some of the geopolitical backdrop here, especially considering the fact that some people are raising the specter of Iranian output dropping off a cliff with more U.S. sanctions. We have what's going on with Venezuela, although that's its own situation. But that factors into the price, no?
Yeah, Iran and Venezuela are the big issues coming up and on the horizon here. And what I think the Saudis would really like is for America to basically make the decision about Iran, and they can support it or whatnot, but it kind of takes it off of their plate when it comes to the overall oil diplomacy. So if President Trump decides on May 12th that he wants to reinstate sanctions on Iran, that kind of takes the blame off of Saudi Arabia. But it would certainly be something that the Saudis, from a foreign policy perspective, would appreciate and would certainly also help raise oil prices for them.
Well, I want to pick up on that and emphasize that. In other words, Saudi Arabia would be very happy if President Trump did break out of the Iran nuclear deal and did impose further sanctions. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think that's certainly the policy that Saudi Arabia would like. They see Iran as a threat, and they've been pressing the United States to do more to counter that threat in their region. I think the Saudis are particularly pleased with the recent moves in the White House, bringing in John Bolton and Mike Pompeo. They see them as hawks on Iran and really very much in line with Saudi policy. Pushing for more sanctions is exactly what the Saudis have been asking for months.
Well, you say they're happy with the moves in the White House. What do you think their reaction is? And going back to what Lisa was talking about, what do you think their reaction is that the president's tweet this morning about what he describes as artificially high oil prices because of OPEC policies?
I think they know that OPEC gets blamed for everything, whether oil prices are too high or too low. OPEC's going to get the blame. What President Trump is doing here is he's basically trying to shift the blame for higher gasoline prices that we're all going to see over the summer and blame it on OPEC, which is not entirely true, but is very convenient for, you know, his base and for Americans to believe this. I think they probably rather he didn't tweet, but I'm pretty sure that they probably understand that he's pursuing their policies or policies that they want regardless.
Dr. Ellen Wald, thank you so much for being with us. We always enjoy speaking with you. Dr. Ellen Wald is energy markets and policy analyst, as well as a non-resident scholar at the Arabia Foundation, also the author of Saudi Inc. Coming up, Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law. They're going to be talking about how Rudy Giuliani is joining the legal team of President Trump, as well as the ongoing IMF meetings and NAFTA discussions. I'm Lisa Abramowitz, along with my co-host, Pim Fox, and this is Bloomberg Radio.